That song's got a funky beat to it.
I know, right? It kind of makes me sometimes not want you to answer.
The Spanish Announce Table.
What did you do since last episode 250?
I really honestly have not done much, Tom. I've done a lot, but it's all been boring stuff. We're still kind of, you know, just getting to some spring cleaning, as it were, maybe a little early, if you will.
How are the dogs? So that since the last time we talked, your dogs were in a dog fight. So tell me, how are the dogs recovering? Is there any hesitation going outside? Any of that stuff?
No, we've been taking them on walks every night when I get home from work. My wife and I go on a walk back in our property here, and there's some big hills. And if you remember last week or so, it's been cold as all get out. So we've been bundled up hiking basically with these dogs, and I've been working with them on staying closer to us, right? Like they get to still run around and roam, but coming back when called and that kind of stuff. And the neighbor lady down there is letting us know when she's letting her dog out and stuff like that, and she's keeping it in more and things like that. It's been getting better, right? And we're going to try to work with her dog. We're going to take our dogs and her dog on a walk, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff, getting together.
Well,
one at a time, those kind of things. Okay. Yeah, man, that's how you do it, man. That's how you responsible dog ownership, right?
Well, good for you. Yeah, good on you.
Also, though, Ben, the last 2 weeks, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, every week we've been going and doing bowling, right?
Family bowling, right? What? Mm-hmm. How's that going? Who's the best bowler in the family?
I suck. We all have been trading off. Well, Nikki and I have been trading off, although Hayden won one. We're still, like, I don't bowl, right? So going up there, I maybe bowled, if you told me I bowled 30 times in my life, I'd be like, wow, I'm impressed, right? Like, I wouldn't have thought I bowled that much, right? So we're not good, right? But, I mean, I think I've gotten 130 a couple games and things like that, right? Right.
Okay.
Right. And then, but then there's the games where you're just like, whatever, we've been here already. This is like the fourth game. I was ready to go after the second. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool. I got like an 84 on that or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but it's all fun. You know what I mean? We're all just hanging out, bowling, just being like, all right, let's figure this out. And we've done it twice.
Good.
Right? So hopefully we'll get a little better at this, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Yeah. Why? You like a bowling league champion or something? What do you got out there? You go out there and bowl like 250 or something like that?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know you had these like avid bowling skills.
So my parents, my mom and my stepdad, like childhood memories for me is falling asleep on the ball return you know, smelling of Miller Lite and popcorn because we were sitting next to the concession stand. Mm. We would go bowling every Wednesday and Sunday. Mm. And my stepbrother, is the best bowler of the four of us. He's bowled, I think, 400-300 games, one of which he did drunk, which pisses me off. That's like, you're a schmuck if you can do it drunk, right? Like,
Well, you're not a schmuck.
I punched him so hard in the chest when I found that out. Because you get a ring. You get a ring if you bowl a 300 game.
Oh, nice.
In a competitive, like, this is a competition, right?
Nice.
And
okay, so
my stepdad.
This was even serious. Like, he wasn't just showing up one day and like, let me get a game.
No,
it's like a dollar, right?
No, this is like, we're showing up. We all have our shoes. We all have our custom made balls that have the fingering in there. That's a lot of fun talk right there, by the way.
I got them too. Let me tell you that. Yeah.
Like, my stepdad.
Sex joke.
My stepdad gets to the point where he shows up early enough before competition to see the oil pattern on the lanes. Like, that's the kind of bowler he is. He's 66 and he still bowls. Like, he bowls every Saturday morning. He bowls in all these types of benefits and all that. So, yeah, bowling in our household is a big thing. Now, I'm probably the third best out of four. My mom's probably the worst, but my mom has a hand injury. So, like, it's, you know, because of the hand injury that she can't do some of the things that we can. And the reason I would say I'm probably the worst of the men is just because, like, I was like, you know what? I like basketball, and basketball wasn't big in our family. So I went kind of more on the basketball trend, and they kept with the bowling trend. And I probably average a 215. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing crazy. Like, oh my God, wow. I've never bowled a 300. Closest I got is I had eight strikes in a row. Yeah, boom, 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 and then sucked it.
Yeah, I think I've gotten maybe, like, I know for a fact in my life one time I think I max bowled a 150-something. If it got over that, if there was a 160-something, who the fuck knows how that happened. But, God, I don't think I had bowled in, maybe a decade.
It's definitely a skill that if not practiced, you will lose your mechanics quick.
The one I had from growing up, like you had there, was darts, right? So my mom and sister did the singing in these like lounge singing bars, and my parents did the things. I always had a dart board. That's one where it's like riding a bicycle, where I could still go up. And now if somebody was actively playing a lot now, they'd probably still roast me. But like if you came over and you're like, let's do darts, I'd be like, okay, all right, cool. Right? Like, so, and who knows? Maybe not. It's been a decade since I've done that too. Who knows? I'd probably throw it against the damn wall at this point. Who knows?
Well, and so that's where we differ, is because if you told me that I played 30 games of darts, I would say, really, that many? Because I don't know the rules. I don't know the scoring. I just go like, hey, should I hit this bullseye? Let's do it again.
I spent countless hours just throwing darts at a wall before there was, you know what I mean? Before we had all the cool stuff kids got now, right? Before there was a device for me to just stare into at all times. That's about the gist of it. Working a lot around the house and working, and then we did some bowling, man. So what's up with you?
So Emily and I had our third year anniversary last night, March 5th. We went to a restaurant here in the Crossroads area called Novel.
First time she didn't run away from you, huh?
That's neat. D-E-L. Well, you know what's fun is I text message her because it's also the third year anniversary of when Nate Diaz beat Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. And so I will text her photos from that fight as like, happy anniversary. We didn't watch the fight together. Yeah. We actually ended the date early, and then we did other things. We both watched the fight, but we watched it at separate viewing parties.
Was Emily the one you almost went to a Trump rally with? Was that you?
Yeah. So our third date, I think it was our third date, was we went to see a movie at the Alamo Draft House, which was down the street from the Uptown Theater, in which Trump was doing a Kansas City rally.
Pre-election.
And that was, pre-election. Mm-hmm. And that was when, also on that day, down the street at Sprint Center was the Big 12 championship. Mm-hmm. So you had like, Iowa State sucks. KU can suck a dick. Well, fuck Trump. I love Trump. And we're just like, we just want to see a movie. We had this hodgepodge collage of just yelling one-liners, and then it just turned into like, fuck Trump, well fuck KU, yeah well fuck that as well, like it just was like, and all these things just everywhere. It was crazy. That was the most memorable dates I've been on.
Well, cool. So this time was your three-year anniversary.
Third year anniversary. Went to Novel, fantastic restaurant. It's one of those trendy, like, you get a small plate, it was good. Fantastic food, good atmosphere, great dessert. Ooh, I had an upside down pineapple cake with lime ice cream. It's pretty good. I'm a chocolate guy, though. I'll tell you this. One thing that these fancy restaurants need to, like, realize, don't get crazy with your desserts. Like, I got crazy with that one because it was an anniversary. But if I'm going dessert at a restaurant, like, give me death by chocolate. Like, that's all I need. I don't need this, like, infusion, apricot, mango, orange, vanilla. No, just fucking chocolate. And again, guess what you can put on top of that? More chocolate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I need. How about this? Chocolate cake, and then you put chocolate ice cream on top of that. That's all. I'm good.
Just I want make a stomach sure ache later that night, right? I want to, like, shit.
I want a sugar rush. Yeah, I want a sugar rush where I can jump out of the building.
Right. Yeah. I'm a huge chocolate mark myself too, man. I go nuts for it. Like if mm-hmm. I'm at a restaurant and I'm looking for the chocolate on the dessert menu, right? The one with the drizzling chocolate yep. on the brownie with the hot fudge mm-hmm. pouring out of yep. it, right? With the white chocolate yeah. also drizzled on it. I'm like, yes, that. I want the Heart Clogger 4572, right? That's better than the 3569, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, to the point where when I go for like, you know, main course menus, you know, I skip it. I just go to the dessert. I'm like, what are we going for dessert? All right, I'm fuck, really? We're yeah, going
we
with.
We got to go to a different restaurant.
You know, we're going with pistachio yeah. oranges. Fuck off. That's you know? Right I don't there. Want that.
And then you make up an excuse because, you know, like she's not going to leave just because of the dessert menu. Is right. You got to be yeah. like, Silverware's dirty. We got to go. No.
Oh, yeah. I think here. I see a hair yeah. in the food. Yeah. I think I saw a hair in someone else's food. Yep. Yeah. Saw a roach. That, yeah. Exactly.
Saw roach. Fucking pulled a wedgie out of her ass. We're out of here.
Yep. We're done. I think yep. she sneezed on someone's food. That's yep, our witches.
We're going to Red Bye. Robin. Red Robin. Yep. I don't even know what their dessert menu is.
Oh, going to Wendy's. Oh. Hey. Quick question.
Yeah.
Speaking now that we're on food, and we'll get to the wrestling here in a little bit. Are you a fries and frosty guy, or are you a frosty by itself?
Oh, frosty by itself. Yeah.
You don't put fries in your frosty?
Nah.
That salt and sweet is so
good. I've
never
been a fan of that salt and sweet thing. I don't like it. Nah.
Now, I will say this, though. One thing, because, you know, living with Emily, I can't watch pro wrestling 24/7, so I have to make concessions and say, like, you get the remote, you know?
You allow
so
it.
So I've been watching. Right, yeah, I allow it. You
good
know,
good
yeah.
for you.
Here you go, miss.
That's good of you. It's gentlemanly.
But we watch a lot of Food Network. Like, that's a good common, yes. like, hey, I like food, and yep. she likes food, all that. But one thing these food shows need to, like, get the fuck off of, very similar to how I said, like, just give me death by chocolate. I don't need. Now, I like the salt and sweet with the fries and the frosty, yeah. but I hate when they're like, to balance this, you could have used a bright note, or for a flavor profile, you could have put more of a charcoal. Think of a meat that you could have added.
Right.
No, sometimes you just need one thing and you can double up on it. You know, like, that makes it good. You don't have to have this. It's not a fucking rainbow that has to have every color. It's food. You just eat it, you know?
Chocolate.
Yeah. I want chocolate and chocolate. And if you think it's too chocolatey, that's the fucking point.
Turn it up to 11, baby. That's how we yeah. do it over here at the wrestling fan
exactly.
world.
I don't need three. I need five of these mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. You keep putting chocolate, that, so I tell you to stop the chocolate.
Right. But I don't want three of these things. I need five of these things, which is... five. Transition into the news.
Into the news.
So, as this is a pro wrestling podcast, we will inform you on the news of the week. And we're going to start it off with unfortunate news. And that is, at the age of 61, WWF legend, pro wrestling legend, King Kong Bundy has passed away. Now, Tim, I say King Kong Bundy. And you think what? What are the first few thoughts in your brain?
I have a weird mental picture whenever King Kong Bundy is brought up. And it's the same as, you know, before he died as after. Is that, like, my first wrestling memory that, like, I can, that I know is that, you know what I mean? That it was, like, introductory to wrestling was Hogan and Bundy in the cage. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
you
he's
mentioned that.
Forever ink stamped on my brain in that moment, right? Like, oh man, this monster. And then from then on, it was never really seemingly anybody I took seriously after that. You know what I mean? Like in any real, you know what I mean? Like he kind of proved himself to be a bit of a, you know what I mean? A loudmouth at times and things, you know what I mean? It was just kind of crass and stuff. So he never really endeared himself over that, but he's always there in the memory. Right now, I say all that not to disrespect the man, obviously. I mean, he put in a lot of time and is in moments like that, and probably meant way more than that to others, right? And did a lot of work in the industry and brought a lot of mainstream media attention to it anyway, right? I mean, he was on Married with Children, right? You remember that?
So that's where, yeah, that's where I go, is because I'm a little bit younger than you, and so the WrestleMania 2, you know, Steel Cage, I don't remember. I just don't. Where I remember him is appearing on Married with Children, because I remember thinking, okay, so if you're appearing on a show outside of the bubble. Now, that's not what my brain was saying, but like it was appearing outside of WWF programming. This is something different. My brain went to, well, then this guy has to be like the top villain or the top babyface. And really at that time, he was still a marquee name. And, you know, he was still, I think he was involved with like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase's kind of crew and, you know, things like that. But he really wasn't the marquee guy. But because he was on Married with Children, which is a show that my family watched, I was like, oh, guys, like this is the man. Keep and you know, I'm a kid. I don't know the difference.
Right.
So, yeah, I think of him with Married with Children. And then as I, you know, became a wrestling snob and I wanted to know the ins and outs of pro wrestling, one thing that I always think of with him is that, you know, if you think of WrestleMania 3 as really like the rocket to the moon for WWF, like taking over, right? Like WrestleMania 1 was a gamble. It hit. WrestleMania 2, you know, had Bundy in the cage. Well, kind of shaky, right? They did the three locations, but then Mania 3, 93,000, Hogan, Andre were, you know, the rest is written in history, right?
Right.
Right. But the thing that I think of is that Andre wrestled small people. If you remember his match, or excuse me, not Andre, Bundy. Bundy wrestled small people on that show. And I just think like maybe that's why he was a little bit of a jerk later on in his life is, you know, one of the greatest shows of all time. And people like talk about, you know, Steamboat Savage and obviously Hogan slamming Andre. And then they go, and what did you do? And he goes, so there was this 3 foot guy and another 3 foot guy. And I just threw him around and like, it was the piss break. Yeah. It was like a piss break match. And so
it was the big show moment.
Right. The other thing that I think about with Bundy is, you know, and now he's passed away. So that's unfortunate, but you know, he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame.
That's right? True. Like, huh?
He's not in there. Now, as we've both mentioned, you know, he was very opinionated. So
I feel like he will be though, right?
Right. Yeah. But it's just unfortunate. I always dislike when it's like, well, they're really controversial. Well, they're dead. Well, now we can put them in.
Yeah.
I just, that always puts a sour taste in my mouth because it's like,
he would have been good somebody to have this year if he was alive. You know what I mean? You'd be like, right. Oh, cool, Bundy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. King Kong Bundy. He main evented a WrestleMania. Like right there, that has,
yeah,
you know.
That's Hall of Fame material, right? Like even if right. that was, you know what I mean? Unless that was all you really did, right? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's one thing I think of is him being such a, you know, name in pro wrestling that, you know, now, unfortunate, he didn't get that last moment of being recognized, right? Standing up there and his peers or, you know, his pupils, I guess. I don't know what that term is. But, you know, people after
contemporaries.
Him. Contemporaries. You know, acknowledging, like, what he did. And so yes. that's sad.
True.
But,
yeah.
But transition,
mm-hmm.
that gets us into the second news story of the week. Mm-hmm. And it was announced by WWE, which I want to point out something after I make this announcement that was really dumb. But it was announced that the newest inductee to the 2019 WWE Hall of Fame is one Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson, yeah.
Women's Revolution, right?
I had forgot Tori Wilson existed until I saw this announcement that Tori Wilson's going into the Hall of Fame. And I was like,
We live different lives because I definitely remembered everything about Tori Wilson.
Well, I remember Tori Wilson. Don't get me wrong. But I never thought about Tori Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I was not watching as heavily as in this time frame where she was a much bigger deal.
I was.
Mm-hmm. So I get it because I do know she was a bigger deal. And you know what I mean? I know what she means to some people. Wasn't she? She also like she was with Kidman for a while, right?
Yeah, she dated Kidman for the longest time. And right. then she also dated. Now, this was after she had retired from the wrestling business, but she dated Alex Rodriguez for a while, too. Remember WrestleMania 28 in Miami? True. John Cena makes his, run down the aisle, and then he gives a good salute to old A-Rod and Tori that was sitting ringside. Yeah.
I do remember that now. That's right. Mm-hmm. And one of the Flares, right? The one of the Flare kids, the one that died?
David Flair. Yeah, the one that's still alive. The one that first tried wrestling and sucked.
Yeah.
And that was before kid.
Yeah, he sucked. Man, yeah. He was bad. All right, anyway.
Yeah, he was very bad.
Yeah.
But it was also, he was thrusted in there, you know, with the power plant training and nothing else. So, but Flair, here's, okay, yeah. So, yeah, one thing that I thought is just comically stupid when they made the announcement is Michael Cole on Raw said, and so they're like, ESPNW, which is the women's publication, right, of ESPN magazine, announced that Tori Wilson was in the WWE 2019 Hall of Fame, right? Which is great. Cool. Awesome. And maybe it's just phrasing that gets on my nerves because I've kind of had just a crap week, like as far as work and things like that.
Okay.
But getting Michael fired. Cole, no, I'm not getting fired. But Michael Cole states, thanks to ESPNW for the scoop about Tori Wilson going into the Hall of Fame. And I just wanted to go, you fucking idiot. You work for the company.
Yeah. The ESPN company only, tell you. Only could have got that from you. Not you,
yeah,
directly.
Only
Michael Cole,
could have got from your boss. Why isn't your boss telling you about the moves they're making? Anyhow, that's a phrasing, like, little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going to specifically Tori Wilson's induction into the Hall of Fame, I think it's warranted, right? When I think of early 2000s, especially that invasion time when WCW and ECW were integrating into the WWE, right? Some of the people that made it, Booker T, and this is just my opinion, but it was Booker T,
yep,
Booker Lance T. Storm to a lesser degree, Rob Van Dam, Stacy Keibler, Tori Wilson. Like, those were the ones that kind of kept staying after that invasion thing kind of died off, right?
Yes. That's really when I wasn't really watching.
Right.
That invasion killed it for me.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't done well. But and Tweet the Table, there were other names, obviously. But I'm just saying those are some of the names,
sure,
that made
that's
it
the
past.
Big, right. That were the focal points of the show at that point.
Right, yeah. They made it past the ZX and Buff Bagwells of the world that tried their shot at WWE. That's what I'm getting at. But I definitely think she's warranted because she was in a lot of main event storylines on both Raw and SmackDown, right?
Yes.
People are saying it's controversial, and I think they're saying it's controversial because, and this is how I've always taken it, when we talk now about how bad women's pro wrestling was, we talk about instances at WrestleMania 19 when Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson are in a pillow fight with the Bud Light girls. That's a real thing. Go look it up. 2003. I think it's also, we talk about Tori Wilson in the bra and panties match and then dousing herself in water and then doing the stink face to Candice Michelle or whoever it was, right?
Right.
Like, when we talk about the women being held down, it feels like it's really that we're talking about all the shit that Tori Wilson did when she was the top girl in WWE. And so I think that's where, like, mm-hmm, you know, we're trying so hard to get away from the stigma and then we're just going to put her in, really? But you also have to realize, like, if it wasn't for her, there was really no women's thing happening, right? Like, if she doesn't do the bikini competition against Sable, women might not be on that pay-per-view, or
right,
if she's not doing the bra and panties match against Trish Stratus or whatever it is, you know, she's not, like, women's wrestling might not be on SmackDown or whatever it is, you know? So I think she is deserving, but I understand the timing of, like, women are going to main event WrestleMania and let's remind you of what they used to do.
Yeah. Well, but you've also got to think, okay, so yes, when we look back at the time, whatever the time was may not work today. We may think, you know, how dare we do that back then? But we can still, you know what I mean? Like, honor someone's accomplishments of the, you know what I mean? The performance that they did. I mean, that was asked them and it was a success then. You know what I mean? So, like, what are you going to, I don't know. Just seems weird, right, to hold that now to today's standards, right? Like you're saying, I mean, of course she should go, you know? Like, I don't.
Yeah, she was over. I mean.
And if we're wanting a woman every year.
Then here it is. Eventually those girls
got
to go.
Right, like you only got so many, like, go hard in the ring ones that are available. So, But that's what we're left with, I guess.
Hey, you know, one thing that I will say is, as a 33-year-old pro wrestling fan, is pro wrestling has grown up exactly with me, right? So as I'm a kid, it's the cartoon characters of the Million Dollar Man and over-the-top characters like Hulk Hogan, right? Then I get into my teenage years, and that's the Attitude Era. That's the NWO and DX and stuff. And then as I get a little bit older to where I can make my own purchases and stuff, that's when you get Torrey Wilson and Playboy and all of those things. And so it's like, yeah, no, that perfectly makes sense for my life. Like, this is growing up exactly how I grew up. Like, I had both of those Playboys that she was in because it was awesome, you know, and she was great. And I don't care that she did the bra and panties match when I was 17, 16 or whatever I was at that time. Like, that's what I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Right.
So shut it, you know. They paid her. She didn't, you know, she could have said no, I assume. I don't know. But
I mean, yeah, she's going to accept this award, so.
Right, yeah. And she's going to take check, and she's going to try her best, so.
So, side note with this, the ceremony, rumors of all the, you know, there's supposed to be a lot of changes. They're going to shorten some people's times. And also that they may not be doing inductions. Have you heard anything about anybody being inducted by anyone?
No, I haven't.
Exactly. They may be cutting those out to try to shave some time down. Because they were discussing, like, some people's induction ceremonies took 30 goddamn minutes.
That's true. That is very true. I haven't noticed that. I always thought it was always, like, they announced, you know, said talent that gets into the Hall of Fame, and then 2 weeks later it's, right. And by the way, so that's what I was kind of waiting on, but I also haven't, yeah, I've noticed that no one has. If the other thing I want to say that I remember at Torrey Wilson, besides those Playboys and all of her awesome bra and panties matches, whatever, suck it, I liked them, is her dog. Remember she had that dog that she would always mm-hmm. carry too mm-hmm. on Raw? I like that because I like dogs. Anyhow.
What was the storyline with her dad?
Oh, Al. Dawn Marie killed Al by banging him. Yeah. Banged him to death. And then that's remember... Right. Dawn Marie tried to like make out with Torrey Wilson, and she's like, "This is uncomfortable." I was like, "It's not."
No, see, I did not see any of that like ever like as it was happening. I think I got. Oh,
it was
later.
So stupid. But yeah, when you say like after the break we're gonna join Dawn Marie in a hotel room in her underwear with Torrey Wilson in her underwear, and I'm 16 or 17
You're
years
gonna
old,
stay tuned.
I'm gonna stay tuned. I'll watch every 1-800 Collect commercial you have.
Took the batteries out of the fucking remote, man. I ain't.
I threw the remote out the window. I'm watching this all night.
Right. Yeah. I ain't even gonna give myself the fucking option, man. I'm staying tuned.
Yeah.
I called the power company to make sure that the fucking lines are safe for a windstorm.
who would you have induct? Because you know we try to always do this, right? Who would you have induct? Torrey Wilson.
Katie Vick.
Her dad.
Right? Can we do that?
I'm back from the dead.
Can we do that? yeah. Can we do that? I don't know if we can. It's WWE, right? We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, we do whatever we want.
Right? Geez, I don't even know, huh? Who, maybe Stacy Keibler, I guess?
That's what I was thinking. I think if Stacy Keibler goes in, Torrey Wilson should induct her. And I think Torrey Wilson, now that she is going in, I think Stacy Keibler, like those two, I think of synonymous. Like they came up at the same time at the end of WCW. They came over to WWE. They kind of started from the bottom. Then they made their way to the top. Like I said, they did a ton of those bra and panties and all that type of weird matches together. So I feel like they have a ton of road stories that they could, you know, be relatable on.
Yeah.
And I think Stacy Keibler still has that name recognition, right? Yeah. Like it's a celebrity. It's still a little bit.
I still want the induction ceremonies. I don't want them to cut those out because that's a great story to be told by somebody else's perspective, right? Which is a big part of honoring the, you got to do it. Here's what they need to do is slow down on the goddamn number of people you're inducting each year. I keep saying this all the time. There's your problem solved right there. Then it's not a 17-hour fucking ceremony if you only induct four fucking people, right?
Yeah,
like
that's what. Yeah,
and
I agree.
DX count as one, so your time better be fucking. You know what I mean? Split. Figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the induction is some of the best part because you know are they going to get is the induct are going to rib the talent, right? Or are they going to be sentimental? And we're going to find out that this talent had a different side that we never knew and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, the induction sometimes is better than the speech itself. I like it. I hope they don't get rid of it.
Yeah, if you got somebody going in who can't fucking speak well, the induction generally is better. In fact, that's why they would plan certain people to induct some.
Right, definitely.
Whatever. I don't know. What else? You got anything before we head out on
news?
Any little quick hits or anything like that? And none of that?
No. No, I think good.
Okay. All right. We will take a break then. We're going to come back and we'll cover the week that was insofar as we're going to talk about Fastlane coming up. We're going to make some predictions. And in that, we're going to obviously talk about the storylines surrounding the matches. So it'll all work out well and efficient. We're all about efficiency here on the Spanish Announce Table. If you weren't aware of that through 251 regular goddamn episodes. But we'll do that. Fastlane, WWE Fastlane. Predictions when we return to the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact, Earth is the only known planet where fire can burn. No other planets have enough oxygen.
The Spanish Announce Table.
That's the worst, man. Anytime something's like weird and you don't know what's wrong, you're immediately like, fuck, I'm going to have cancer and be dead in 4 months.
Yep.
Like, that's my life now.
That's how it happens. That's how the cookie crumbles.
God damn it, I'm one of those statistics now. Fuck me. And they're like, you need a fucking Zantac and a 7-Up. Like, oh, okay. Thanks.
Oh, so it's just a sprain.
Take
okay.
Claritin, dumbass. Oh. Oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, it's fucking April in Kansas, man. Take a fucking... All right. We are recording. It looks like we make sure the audio tape is rolling. And there we are. So, Tom.
Yes.
We have another WWE Network special event. Another one. Right?
Yay.
And it is right next to WrestleMania. Again, right? They just keep cramming these things in here. And you know what? At this point, fine. If you can only tell stories for 2 weeks, then tell 2 week stories and let's just keep them rolling. And then you got to have a payoff, right? So let's do a fucking. We're going to do a special event every 3 weeks from here on out. What do you think?
And then we're going to get tired that we've seen this matchup already. Well, it's because you saw it 3 months ago,
and every
which
third
was 10 storylines ago.
Every third one's going to have an NXT takeover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's roll.
This business model is.
This one does not. Oh, and an NXT UK on every second one.
Yep.
We got this. Perfect. And a 205 live on every first one. There you go. And then we're buying Impact. We're going to throw one on there. All right. Kickoff match, Tom. You ready for this one? Rey Mysterio.
We'll see. What is it?
Versus Andrade. Now, this storyline has been told around R-Truth and even segued, R-Truth storyline went its own way, too. They did a nice little intermixing there with the whole Samoa Joe, the R-Truth. And then the Andrade and Rey Mysterio. I kind of liked how that all played out.
I did, except for, as I've mentioned, since Rey's come back, it feels like the only storyline that we've seen him tell, besides the Randy Orton quick one where it was, you know, hey, this rehashed from 2006, is again, Rey Mysterio must wrestle the other Mexican wrestler. And this is just same rinse and repeat. So I'm not interested. It's going to be great, right? As far as like if I'm there live and I'm sitting and I paid my ticket and you're going to give me the first match, that's awesome, right? Like how many times can you say especially post WCW, that like the pay-per-view kicked off with Rey Mysterio? Like that's pretty cool.
It is. And, you know, a lot of that may be Rey Mysterio's fault, right? Like, it may be, like, guys that he has some kind of tie to or somebody knows or somebody really wants to work with. And they both are like, yeah, of course, right? And then so they go begging for it. And who's going to tell them no, right? So maybe, I don't know, and that's all conjecture. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass and maybe they're being forced to. Maybe they hate it. I don't know. But you're right. It does come off as like,
some of Rey Mysterio's best matches and stories – have come from people outside of the little bubble, right? Like his debut feud with Kurt Angle. That was pretty fucking cool. Guess what? Kurt Angle's not a Mexican luchador. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I'm just saying, it just feels like we could do more, especially with Rey Mysterio and the stature that he has. We could tell different stories other than the one Mexican wrestler wants to make his name off of the legacy that is Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
With that all being said, I think it's a kickoff match, so I'm going Rey Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's right, because it's kickoff. I was going to say Andrade with the help of Selena, but I'll just say that, right? We'll be different. How about that? Raw Tag Team Championships. The Revival versus Aleister Black and Ricochet versus Gable and Rude.
Here's the first question. Mm-hmm. What brand are Ricochet and Aleister Black on?
All.
So what the hell?
All of them. They've even kind of said that. All of them.
Why? What makes them that special?
Because fuck you.
Rollins I would want to see on all three brands more than them.
Nope, fuck you. These two guys, they have nothing in common except that they were on NXT, but now they're on all brands. So that doesn't even work anymore. So fuck you. They're a team, and you'll like them. You cheer them.
Now, I will say this. One thing that I typically like... The Revival type of teams, right? Where they have a name, it makes sense. They look like they have a common interest. Yes. You know, that's a traditional team. With that being said, though, I'm not the biggest anti, like, this team was just thrown together. Like, okay, as long as they tell me a story, I don't give a shit, right? Like, I have weird looking friends too, like Aleister Black. Like, we could be a tag team, right? One thing, though, that I do want to mention that we didn't get into the news, just because you never know with injuries what's real, what's fake. One reason you haven't been seeing Tommaso Ciampa, who got called up alongside Aleister Black and Ricochet, is apparently tomorrow, March 7th, Tommaso Ciampa is going to have neck surgery and will be out, quote, a significant amount of time. Now, again, is this a John Cena thing where he's back in 3 weeks, or is this a real long injury?
So WWE put out what it was, and I don't have it in front of me again. We don't fact check, but it was some kind of spinal fusion, but they said the typical recovery for a typical person is 4 to 6 weeks, but they stressed, this was not WWE's thing, this was somebody talking about this kind of surgery. Mm-hmm. They stressed pro wrestling is not the typical person, you know what I mean? Like, the person's recovery here. So he won't be back in 6 weeks from this thing. And WWE has now become very cautious with neck injuries.
As they should, right? Like,
right.
Especially with the overflow of talent that they could just pick from outside of the people that they have. Well, and also that the talent doesn't have to go back to those like 1980s days where if you don't work, you don't get paid. Like, there's money that they can still make while they recover. So it's not as if they're just assed out.
Right. Yeah. And the thing like that is Ciampa, they'll give him an opportunity again whenever he could come back. It may not be the same spot he had, but he's going to get another shot at it. And he's the kind of guy that that they probably have faith in, and I do too, that would have stuff ready to go, right? He'd have some ideas, he'd have some plans, he'll probably be switched up somehow, looking different. Like, he's that kind of dude, right? Like, he just has come across that way, which is entertaining. Go figure.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Going back to this match.
Definitely months he's out, right?
I mean, again, I don't know. That's why we didn't really cover it in the news, because you never know.
But this here, The problem I have, now they just, again, threw Gable and Rude back in on it at the last minute here. Like, oh, yeah, these guys, too. Remember them? Remember because of what happened? So, but before that, it was Revival and Black and Ricochet. Blackochet, right? And before before Blackochet's beating up on the Revival left and right. And I'm like, all right, man, we finally were like, all right, Revival, here, right? Here's tag team titles. We get it. Don't leave. Right? Like, everybody likes you, and we give them the titles, and then I'm like, not everybody does like you, right? Like, you guys are kind of boring. And then Blackochet come in here, and they're just beating them up, and I'm like, why should I care about the tag? Like, this is just, I don't know. Like, these guys are just paired together out of nowhere, like you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, there could be a story. The thing that is always irritating to me is there could be a story that could be told you know, once you finally, like, it's hard to win a championship, but it's even harder to retain a championship. And so there could be a story that could be told if you actually cared, where, you know, the Revival got to the main roster and they, you know, clawed, scratched, and you know, fought their way to become champions. But now they realize that becoming the champion was the easy part. Staying the champion is now the harder part. But they don't tell that story. They just don't. Say, like, Blackashay is beating them up. And yeah. That's where you go, like what you said, well, then who the hell cares? This thing is just a hot potato, and we're just going to throw it around to whoever it sticks on.
Well, and they don't do that enough with the tag or with any titles, right? Like, mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have a couple of victories. We know after somebody wins a title, they're not probably losing that for the next pay-per-view, even the next one likely, right? Especially a significant title. Right. Yeah. Especially more often than not. Right. There's a few exceptions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
R-Truth, things like that. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, there's going to be those. Right. But for the most part, they don't do a whole lot of that. Right. Like it won the title, lost it right away because it's hard here. Right.
Now
like
you
everybody's
realize,
good.
Yeah. This is hard. Yeah. Everybody's good. Now that's. Gets on my back. I didn't realize how good, like how hard this is. Right. That could be an interesting story. But where I get frustrated with this is, so Blackashay is beating up the Revival, right? Okay. Blackashay and the Revival. Maybe Blackashay has the Revival's number. You could say that story too, right? Where Revival can beat every tag team on Raw except for Blackashay because the Styles make fights and this fight is just a style they can't win, right? But then the very next night, again, like you said, they're on all three brands. Blackashay just beats the bar up.
Well,
so we're saying this tag team that, again, I'm not against just throwing together tag teams, but we don't understand the reasoning of the tag team. But this unreasonable tag team can beat, so far, every tag team, right? Yeah. Like they can beat every tag team on NXT if they wanted to.
Two brands they're, right now.
They're dominating two brands of tag teams. So this just... hey, we're cool together.
Yeah, what happened?
Just the greatest tag team.
They were at catering one time, and we're like, "Man, I've never been a tag champ." You know? Like,
yeah,
me neither. Like, really? You want to give it a guy? You want to give it a shot, man? Like, yeah, let's go. All right, cool. Yeah, and then they realize they're just the fucking best. Get the fuck out of here. I don't
right.
like it. It's
now
a weird
it would
story.
Be the, yeah, the story would be. And again, we talked about the injury, so maybe that's what they went with, and now
well,
they're just going with the backup plan.
What I just said is more of a story than they've given us, but go ahead.
They've given no story.
Yeah.
But it would be cooler, and again, because of the injury, we don't know, but if DIY, which was a tag team, they have a name, they have a reasoning to be together. If that was the tag team that was beating up the Revival and the Bar, you could say, like, man, this is one of the best tag teams of all time. They're the NXT, former NXT champions. Ciampa's the NXT heavyweight right. champion. Now they're beating the Bar. Now they're beating
maybe
Revival.
That was what was going to happen.
Right. And so this is plan B. But again, okay, you went with plan B. Let's just hypothetically say that we peeked behind the curtain and that's what we know. But tell me why Blackashay is something besides yeah. one sits down and is kind of cool. Like it's a believable character. Yeah. I can't tell the difference between whoever he is and Aleister Black. It seems like the same person.
Sure.
And then also. Flippy's awesome Ricochet. Like, give me some story, man.
One's from Holland, and one's from fucking Kentucky. Like, I don't. There's nothing here.
Yeah. What is the tie? What is the thing? Did you guys happen to be traveling buddies, and that's where the friendship blossomed from? Like, you have to tell me something. That's why I don't care. But going back to this, the Revival win.
They were both at Burger King and ordered the same thing and realized they both like a double Whopper with no tomatoes.
They were both sitting in a tree and they realized they could both land a backflip. And they're like, we could be a tag team. Mm-hmm.
They both can parallel park perfectly the first time. And they were like, that means we've got to go dominate the tag team divisions.
Or full circle, they were both bowling at the same bowling alley and they both had a strike at the same time, made eye contact, realized we're soulmates, let's go be tag champs.
That's it. We figured it out. We booked
there it is.
They're going to reveal that at Fastlane.
Wrestling, but who do you got?
Oh, yeah, we got to pick this.
I had Revival after all of that.
Yeah, I think that's what happens here. This is a way to save Blackishay, maybe. You know what I mean?
Or Revival can pin. Yeah, Revival can pin Gable and Rude. Gable.
Yep, they'll pin Gable. Gable's taking this pin. He shouldn't, but here's what they're going to do. Rude might, but here's what they're going to do, right? The Revival is going to be the tag champ, so they're not going to take a pin. Or you know what I mean? They're not going to pin Blackishay, right? We're not going to pin the Revival. We're not going to give them the title, so Revival's got to win somehow. So they're going to pin Rude or Gable. Rude would even be like, oh, I'll do it, right? Like, even, I'm imagining right, from based on what we know about these people. But Gable's the new guy, right? Like, they're going to be looking at those two, and they're going to be like, yeah, all right, we'll take that under consideration. Mm-hmm. If this works like any other kind of corporate entity, that's how WWE typically works, and that's how, you know what I mean, every business kind of works. So, like, sure, fucking new guy is doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so we'll see. And keep Gable in your mind, because I will be bringing him up later in this segment.
You have him.
I have him. And I also have your Aiden English.
We got to go on a date.
Yeah, I got that beer. I got those beer coupons, remember?
I know. I need to figure out. I think the wife needs to babysit somebody sometime. Maybe that's a good, I think on like a Friday night coming up soon.
Hey.
I'll keep you in mind. I'll let you know.
All right, cool.
See if your calendar's booked.
It ain't.
It ain't. Yeah, I know. All right, yeah. Oh, yeah, let me check. Yeah, I'm free.
Always available.
SmackDown. I might be free. What? You just check with me that night. Just check with me, please. Yeah. Please check with me. Mm-hmm. SmackDown Women's Champion Asuka taking on Mandy Rose because, you know, why?
Well, she beat her. She did beat her. That is a story, right?
True. That is true. So there is that.
Title match.
There is that.
So at least you got that. Now, why did she have that match? We don't really know why, but she did.
Right.
Okay. Asuka's only lost like 5 times. This is one of the 5. She has to avenge that loss. I get it.
I'm worried they give this one to Mandy Rose here because I think they're just high on her for some reason. Yeah, I think Mandy Rose pulls this down.
Mandy Rose gets it with Sonya Deville. The shenanigans.
She gets to torture Naomi.
Yep.
That's her first title defense. She gets to beat Naomi. That'll be fun. They won't do that.
Mm-hmm. We get a triple threat of Asuka, Naomi, and Mandy Rose's champ at WrestleMania. There you go.
Ew.
Actually, we do a fatal four-way where no one dies, but Sonya Deville gets thrown in there as like the muscle to like be the buffer for Mandy Rose to make sure that she doesn't lose.
Right. To protect her baby.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that funny? A fatal four-way, but no one ever dies.
And no fatalities. Ever. Owen Hart wasn't in a fatal four-way that day, was he?
Ooh.
What was that? Was it just a match, right? It was a tag team
match? Just a match. Blue Blazer. Nope. He was facing the Godfather, I believe.
One-on-one. The Godfather. Yep. Right. All due respect.
Mm-hmm.
WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. That's a thing. Snuka Jax taking on Sasha Banks and Bayley. This is the first. Is this the first actual title? They do an actual title defense on Raw or SmackDown or something?
No, it's
maybe
the actual first time.
Okay. So they're still going to find a way to win then. I don't think they're taking it off them right away, right?
Side note. Why does it always look like when the opponent's music hits, Tamina Snuka is fucking shocked? Like, you know what you're doing there by now.
Yeah.
Especially like, why are you like, oh?
Right. When you're going out for a match, right? When you're doing a promo, Tamina, that's the reaction we want.
But when Sasha Banks' music hits and you go,
I thought we had Bruce Pritchard back. Can he go tell her to do this?
Yeah. I just don't get it.
Bruce.
I don't get it.
Bruce,
by the way, if you believe the internet rumors, peeling back the curtain and just looking behind it for a quick second, apparently the first segment that Bruce Pritchard produced was that Batista segment.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. If that's true, who knows?
Yeah,
Dave Meltzer's a liar sometimes.
Side note, since this isn't happening at Fastlane, unless maybe something happens at Fastlane, Triple H's promo...
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's take a quick halftime from our Fastlane picks and get into one of the stories that will not be a part of Fastlane as we think it will be as far as the announced matches. So here's – I love the first segment, right? We talked about it. We praised it, the 70th birthday party for Ric Flair.
Yes.
Thought it was perfect. Here is where I get, I'm, the evolution of pro wrestling is now, it needs to stop, in my opinion, with storytelling with this in regards to. So let me back up. You know, back in the 80s, everyone was an overblown character, right? It was over the top. Like I said, Million Dollar Man was a billionaire, blah, 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 right? But then we got into an evolution of, like, you know who really runs this? Vince McMahon, which is, it's a shoot, right? Vince McMahon really runs the WWF, yeah, right, or WWE, right? And so we peeled back the curtain, and then everyone was invested, right? Stone Cold was beating up the actual boss of the WWF, or, you know, WWE, right?
Right.
But now I feel like we're jumping the shark with our storytelling, where Triple H says, like, Ric Flair is a character, Richard Flair, or however he said it, and I'm not sure how, but is the man. And he even said this a couple different times when he said Dave, which I like the little, like, we use the real name, right? Because sure, it gives elements. But then he jumped the shark, in my opinion, with the, you're not going to face the character. He said that. He goes, you're not going to face the character when you look at me face to face. So then what are we doing?
I know.
So is the super kick a shoot? Because it's not.
I think what he meant to do there is call Triple H a character, right?
Right.
Right. The persona that is Triple H is a character that I,
yeah,
you know, am and was, but that's not what this is now. That's not what I'm doing here. This isn't a promo for that. This isn't a moment for that. This is, I'll come do it right now in this suit and beat the shit out of you, right? Like, well, I think now, that's so what he meant.
I hope, right, I hope, but however, two segments kind of contradict that, where Colin Jost, or however you say his name, the SNL guy, yeah, backstage,
is it
goes Jost? To Braun Strowman. Yeah, but he goes to Braun Strowman and he goes, well, isn't this fake?
Right.
And then they do the fakest thing they've done. They did in the whole episode, and Braun Strowman picks him up by the throat. They go to commercial, come back, and he's still there. And we're supposed to assume that Colin is, one, conscious, because he would go unconscious being choked, and two, he's just fine. Like, he just talks as soon as he's let down. So you said, is this fake? And then you do the fakest thing possible. But again, it's that one thing where we're saying, like, aren't you guys all characters? Where we're peeling back that curtain again. And then the third segment where they did this asinine thing, in my opinion, is then Ronda Rousey goes, we all know that if I wanted to, if this was real, I would break Charlotte and Becky in a second. And then that's when I go, like, okay, so let's – like, you're going down a stupid path, because if, right, you want to get real, then Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable are going to be your tag champs, because they can shoot, beat the fuck out of anyone on the roster, right? Bobby Lashley, even though his age, will most likely beat the shit out of any shoot Intercontinental champion you have. Like, Finn Balor's not winning a fucking match if this is a shoot, right?
Right.
And then Brock Lesnar is going to wrestle fuck everyone.
Finn Balor will be on the first plane to 205 Live because he ain't fucking hanging around to take on, right, Braun Strowman in a match if this were real.
Well, not even that. Just, like, there are real fighters on that roster, right? There are real people that will fuck
Jack Swagger will come back and be like, I'm ready.
What? Yeah, Jack Swagger will be like, hey, heard we're doing shoot fighting. Love that now.
Brawl for All number two? I'm there.
Yeah, Del Rio's coming back, and all of a sudden he's going to be your top guy. Because if we're talking about
Shark
shoots,
Bait's in.
Yeah, Shark Bait's going to be your 205 champion, right? Like, that's where I'm saying, like, okay, you're going down a path where you can't really come back, because there's stupid moves that we do in wrestling that are fun. But if we start to say, like, these are characters and these aren't real, then you got to stop doing the stupid super kick party, Young Bucks. Young Bucks are a part of this, but you get what I'm saying.
If I'm young and I don't get all that, right, and I'm not understanding the difference between the two worlds, right, and she says that, and I'll be like, real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, now, okay, so is the only reason, you know what I mean? Like, it works in here is because this is fake.
Right. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Then you have to, like, wrestle a different match. You can't do the, I'm going to body slam the opponent, climb to the top turnbuckle, and do an elbow.
Yeah. Pro wrestling has to operate much like any other kind of circus or performance art act, in that we will admit fully the full time and fully acknowledge that this is a performance. But while the performance is on, no, we don't. Right?
Like, right. It's performance time. Yeah, you can't break that essential fourth wall kind of thing where we go like, actually, everyone's okay.
Right.
Like, gravity's real, but everyone's okay.
An occasional comedic moment, you can do things like that, right? But that's usually where you are given a pass for. But, like, come on, man. That was bad. Yeah, yes, I had that same gripe. I was like, dude, what?
Yeah, those three things kind of made me go like, oh, we're going down a path that I don't think anyone's going to like.
Now, the personal part of the beginning of Triple H's story was great, huh?
Right, because I'm not a huge fan of saying his real name, right? Like Ric Flair.
Sure,
you could just keep saying Ric Flair, because hell, even Ric Flair doesn't know the difference between the two people anymore anyhow.
Right.
Anyhow, but I like the, like, I wish he would have said, and he said this in the past, but it could have still been made point now, is, hey, I wear a suit, but with you, I don't care about my job. I don't care about this in-ring championships. It's me and you fighting as men. Like, you could say that without this isn't my character anymore.
Well, I love the part of when he was like making fun of his whole video promo, you know, and he's like, one real original, you know, I mean, he's like bad guy 101. And then he was like, we'll do this on your terms. Fine. He's like, dude, I will come to your house. Does that work for you? Like, you come to mine. Does that work? Like, I love that one. That was good.
Well, and I even liked how, you know, he said like, oh, anytime things get hard for you, you quit. You're a quitter.
Because that's exactly like what has happened.
When they, and that, okay, right? Because now the character can say he quits when he doesn't get the reaction from the fans. Okay, right? Like, we can tell a performance art storyline without giving the whole bank away kind of thing. So I like that aspect. This is the only thing that those three say, like, it was cool when we said that Vince McMahon was the real owner. Okay. We can't be going down any farther, because now the fun moves aren't going to be cool because we're saying this is a shoot.
What are your thoughts, though, on the WrestleMania guest correspondents, Michael Che and Colin Jost?
So I know that Michael Che is a huge pro wrestling fan. I've seen him at SummerSlams.
Right.
I've seen him in the crowd at WrestleMania.
Documented,
so for him, so for him, hey, you're a wrestling fan and you're famous, come on in, right? If you're in on the not the joke, but if you're in on what we're doing here and you're respectful,
you're in on the gig here. You got it. You know.
Yeah. If you're in on the gig, come on in. Awesome. Love it. Colin, I don't know, right? He's dating Scarlett Johansson, so hopefully she comes.
Okay, so a couple takeaways with Colin that I thought, yes, Che did a great performance the whole time. And I think Yost did too in some regard, other than I think the scripting of it was bad, and I don't think that was him. I think he performed it really well. And I think maybe if there's good coaching there, they may be able to clean that up a little bit and might be able to do pretty damn well at Mania. They are a good bit of an odd couple pairing. And I like that he was just like immediately comes up and he's like, hey, man, he's an idiot. I'm sorry. He's an idiot. I'm sorry. He's an idiot. He's an idiot, bro. Like, just, he's an idiot, right? Like, just please don't hurt him. Like, he's an idiot. I am sorry.
I also like, and I also like that Colin went instant heel, right? Like, oh, we're in Philadelphia. I'm going to wear my Mets hat.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yes.
Right. Like, we're going to get it. At least there's some meat on the bone here.
They've got to pick and choose. It had to be Strowman again, because, again, I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize Colin was that, you know what I mean? Like, he works out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that.
He's
like,
a bigger guy, but
he
ain't that big compared to Braun, right?
No, but, yeah, it can't be a Finn Balor roughing him up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then it's like, oh, you guys are a similar size.
Right. So, anyway, all right, well, we'll get back to the fast lane here. Snuka Jax is not winning this. We both saying Banks and Bayley.
Yeah. Because you know who I think is going to try to, because now they're doing that whole, like, we were floating around all three brands, which is fucking dumb. But you know who I think they might go with if Tamina and Nia turn on each other and go into the women's battle royal? Because remember, that's a thing. You know who would be a good tag team to go up against for Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania? The Huh? It would now, be those a good are WrestleMania, real heels. That's a team.
It would be a good WrestleMania moment. They'll have a good promo out there at Mania. They
and they're believable
will.
Heels to yeah, where we like we smile and we giggle, but we also boo because they do heel work really like, well.
Yeah, don't say that.
Right.
Come on
it's
now.
It's the Elias type of heel.
We go, yeah. Boo. Right? That's a different kind of boo, right? When you're like, hey, boo. Right?
Right. Like, but it would I be like a, that would be good two tag teams, right? The Connection versus the Iconics. I'm not calling them the Boston Hug Connection. It's the Connection.
They're still not, again, like, they're an established, well-defined tag team as much as the Rock and Sock Connection were. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, yep. Like, yes, but you have to have known, right? Like, you can't turn on the TV not knowing and not get that this is a tag team right away, as you do, like, with the Revival or with the, you know.
The Iconics.
The Iconics, right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Here we go. Miz and Shane McMahon taking on the Usos. Goddamn, the Uso promo was great.
Awesome.
One of the best, man. That was so
great. Yeah. Let's just make a deal. And maybe for the next 6 months, just we're going to have the Usos as champs.
Yes.
Here's the, you know what? Pull the trigger and do it on the main brand. Put them on Raw.
Yeah.
Right. Have them be the Raw tag team. They're the best tag team.
Yes.
Fuck the Revival. Fuck the Young Bucks. Fuck the Lucha Brothers. Any other tag team you're thinking of right now, they're the best tag team in the world.
I agree.
Easily. They're not, it's not even, they're 1, 2, and 3 right now. There's not, when you say, like, there's not another tag team that's better than them at all phases of it, right? They don't do the whole meta thing with the Young Bucks where it's like, it's called the Meltzer Driver. You get that, right? Because you know who Dave Meltzer is. Shut up. A normal fan doesn't know that. Usos cut a promo that's believable to the casual fan, the indie fan, and the smarky fan. Like, all three of that wrestling fan believes who the Usos are. I love them. They're the best.
Well, and just well oiled.
You disagree with me?
The coordination of that promo. You know how many times they had to practice that? Like, they're putting in work for that.
No,
man.
I bet you they didn't. They're brothers. They fucking know it, you know?
Well,
That's the other thing.
They may be living practice, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kind of the same Scott Hall, Kevin Nash click mentality where they were basically living it 100% of the time. Driving up and down the road, living the gimmick, basically.
Yeah. If you disagree with me that the Usos are not the best tag team in the world, you can go get fucked.
Where can I sign up for that? We have a say if he's doing this.
That is my stand of the week. The Usos are the best tag team.
Tom Take.
And you are dumb if you disagree, you are the dumb one, not me.
Hashtag Tom Take, Usos best tag team in the world.
Yep.
I agree.
They're gonna win.
And it should be on the line, right? As a reason to give you a shot at the titles, because there's no guaranteed titles, remember?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Usos. All right. Well, we're gonna put up the title for best tag team in the world then. And then they lose it. And then Shane's still gotta listen to the Miz crying like a little baby. I'm sorry, dude.
Shane,
the making fun of the Miz with like he's like, you're the reason I'm gonna have coffee dates with my dad. Like just the funnest thing ever. God, that was the best promo I think I've heard from them in a long time, if not one of their best, like the best they've ever done. That was great.
Yeah. And it's weird. You know, I'm not a fan of Shane as far as wrestling anymore. I'm really not.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think he can stay in that authority figure, and that's fine.
It's reaching Undertaker status.
Well, it just feels weird with McMahon in a mid-card storyline.
Yes.
Right? Like, it was different when Shane first did that time around when he was the young kid and wrestling X-Pac for the European Championship, right? Because Vince was still there and it made sense. Like Vince is the main guy and you're the secondary guy. But now like Shane is his own man, but he's still a McMahon, but then he's in the mid-card. It just feels awkward.
He's got the Terry Funk role is what it feels like, right? Like the old guy comes in, does the mid-card match and does the big dangerous spot and nearly kills himself.
Yeah. By the way, I sent this as a tweet. Ric Flair, look, I love the stories of Ric Flair. I could listen to them all day and night for, you know, years on end, right? I think there's so much meat on that bone as well that you could tell 10 30 for 30 stories. But another wrestler who I think is the most interesting person that no one really talks about is fucking Terry Funk. Think about, you could tell all the stories of him as the NWA champion and then being the first brothers to win the
the whole family NWA
championship. Right, the whole family lineage, all of that.
The 15 retirements.
The 15 retirements. The first time that he did, like, he was the first hardcore wrestler. Remember his I Quit match with Ric Flair in WCW? Like, you could tell that.
Has lapped many Hall of Fame historic careers. Began before them and will end after them.
Yeah, like, I just think there's so many stories to tell from NWA champ and family lineage to ECW champ and
he's
putting
in
over
Hall of Fame, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I just think there should be more stories told about Terry Funk. We always just go like Terry Funk's crazy, but I want to know Terry Funk. Like, I want to know Terry, you know, anyhow.
Maybe
so
you
let's
don't.
Get back to
He's
Fastlane.
Crazy.
I do. Yeah, good. I want to know that.
I got a bear waiting for
him. That guy ticks. Yeah.
He's welcome anytime. Well, you know, sunlight. SmackDown. All right. So who's the Usos are winning this?
Yeah, Usos. I think this is where we end the Miz Shane thing and get that for Mania.
God, Usos are so good. All right. Here we go. Shield, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. I don't know why we're doing all of this.
It would be, so I told you this before we started, I think, off air. It would be so, so fucking cool. It would be memorable status, Undertaker losing at WrestleMania vibe. If you just had Roman Reigns go fucking heel on both Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose at this match.
Right.
God.
So now they're left staring at each other like, are we still friends? Like, we kind of weren't before we were going to do this, and now he just fucked it all. That would be such a good story to tell.
But just the leukemia thing, like, you lean into that. You go, you guys said all that, but you didn't mean it. I remember the boos and the we hate Roman chants before I was sick. It took me getting sick for you to appreciate me. Well, you don't get to appreciate me. Like, God, that would be.
Yeah.
Oh.
He could be like, I could have died. You know that? Like, I could have goddamn
and
died.
You didn't care. and you didn't care. Right. All you wanted was your championship on your indie guy.
You're
and then
a bad
have
person.
Him call out Finn and all these other people or Seth, you know?
Well,
oh.
And maybe that would be fine because then that's a reason that they piecemealed these trio back together of Corbin, Lashley, and McIntyre. By the way, let's hit a couple tweet tables because we didn't have many because wrestling was slow this week.
Mm-hmm.
At the Iceman Forever.
Hey, Iceman
says, he's so cold. He says, kind of hard to take Corbin serious anymore while he's still dressing like an Applebee's manager. # tweet the table. Say, lead shift supervisor there, Iceman. Calm down. Manager gets a polo.
On. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Duh.
Or no, button up.
Duh.
Manager gets a button up with a little embroidered logo.
Yep.
And he gets them comped. You know, you got to pay for them like you do. Not you, Iceman.
Just Iceman, a general you, obviously.
Working at Applebee's. They have an Applebee's out where you're at there, Iceman? Huh? Send us a pic from Applebee's, right? Yeah. Give us a toast from. All right, back to the fast lane here. So who's winning that? Shield's winning that. Right.
Of course, they're laying it up. But God, it would be so fucking cool. And if you disagree with me, okay. I'm not saying it as strong as like the Usos statement, but okay. I just think it'd be cool.
All right. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch. If Becky wins, she gets added to the Raw
she
Women's
gets added. Ronda's going to cost Charlotte the match and say, I'm Ronda Rousey because she went heel, right? She said, screw the fans. And she even did the whole, like, I tried to respect this thing and I now screw you guys, which again, stop peeling back the curtain so much, right? Like, let's have some characters here.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I think Ronda will the match and say, like, I'm the baddest bitch and I'm going to beat both of you at WrestleMania.
This whole storyline's just been fucked upside down.
Oh, it's the dumbest thing. Because
I just don't even know what it is anymore.
Well, let's just talk about it from just logical. Go ahead.
Okay, so Becky Lynch won the Royal Rumble. If anybody's fighting to get added to the match,
it's Charlotte.
It's Charlotte, right? Like, what is the... What? The biggest... There was so much heat and fire for the Becky Lynch taking on Ronda Rousey at Mania. There was heat for it.
Yep, that's all we need. We did not need Charlotte.
Everybody wanted it. And everybody was like, yes, first female main event even. That's how good this storyline is. Everybody was like, please. Everybody was like, in fact, we'll be kind of mad if you don't make that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, well, let us also. And you're like, oh, my God. And they've just kept trying to just, oh.
Well, and so we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, when Charlotte was added. I agree with it in what they were trying to do because it was a story up until this week that they've told in the past, right? And I'd mentioned that where, like, WrestleMania 20, it was the athlete, yes, Chris Benoit, which would be, yes, Ronda. Mm-hmm. It was the heel, Triple H, which would be Charlotte. And then it was the everyone's favorite, yes, babyface, Shawn Michaels, which would be Becky, right?
Well, and even with these two, Becky's been complaining that Charlotte's stealing her spot forever.
Right. Yes. And so I get it. Like, that, right, there was a story that was told there that was time tested and proven, right? They even did it at WrestleMania 22 when it was Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, the wrestling,
yeah,
machine,
yeah, we've
and
had
Randy
these.
Orton.
Yeah, you can do,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we've had it. And so it was like, yeah, we liked all of that. Now,
yeah, I wasn't even bothered by that.
Right.
I was like, fine.
But then this week made no sense if you're kayfabing it, right? Like, if we're in kayfabe world, right? So just follow me on this, right? So Becky Lynch wins the Royal Rumble, okay? And then Vince McMahon says, ah, you dumb bitch, I don't want you in here. I want this good girl because she stays in line. And it's Charlotte. Okay. Right? So Vince has the final say. Vince does what he wants because he's the man. It's his company.
Can't do,
right,
nothing about it.
Can't do nothing about it. Sorry, Stephanie and Shane. And then this is where it gets convoluted. So then Rhonda, fast forward, then Rhonda relinquishes the title. Stephanie says, well, I've got to do something. Apparently, Vince is not being seen. So I'm just going to take this as Vince just says, Stephanie, make do with what you can. Then makes the match with Becky and Charlotte. Okay, right? Like, if Vince says she gave up the belt, then we got to go with plan B. Becky's a bitch, but we'll put her in there. But then Rhonda appears and says, I didn't relinquish that title. I just gave you a time to think.
Which I said. She didn't say that.
Right. But what I'm getting at is, so Stephanie just goes like, oh, okay. I guess you were right. Like, there's no pushback. But then
you guys never called her to make sure of that, like, there's not, right, an official document process to relinquish a title.
Yeah. But then Stephanie says, well, hey, I'll do this match. And Becky, if you win, you'll be added, which means you could have, when Vince said, ah, Becky, you dumb bitch, I don't want you in here, Shane or Stephanie could have been like, no. She's in. We're going to make this a triple threat. And so you're just stepping on your
foot. You just put her in the main match anyway now. Like, why can't it be? Because you can just add people to matches, and you were going to add her to a title match. Why don't you just add her to the title match?
Add her to the WrestleMania, yeah.
To the title match.
To the Fastlane.
Why does she got to jump through a hoop now? Because Rhonda came back and said, that's not what I meant. And you go, oh, cool. You got to also beat her first. What? Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Makes zero sense. And Stephanie, you idiot, you made the announcement backstage and expected people to be like, whoa, yeah, about the title match between Charlotte and Becky. And we go, no, what we want is just Becky and Rhonda. We don't.
I agree.
Charlotte is an afterthought. And I get it. If you want Charlotte in there, she has a proven record of years of being the best female pro wrestler, yada yada yada. Okay, but then tell that other story where Charlotte's the heel, Ronda's the athlete, Becky's the babyface. Because now you have Ronda's a heel, Charlotte's a heel, and then Becky's a tweener.
Yeah, everybody wanted Becky Ronda when you started saying, like, this is what we're going to do. Everybody was like, great, perfect, this is awesome, we want it. And then we got this, like, oh, she's hurt. And we were like, oh, is she really? Is this a work kind of? And they were like, it's Charlotte. And we were like, oh, shit, is it? And then we got the idea, like, okay, Charlotte's going to be in the first main event, WrestleMania, we get it. Add her in. Perfect. We'll tell this story. Becky Lynch finds a way back, a la Stone Cold or whatever, right? Yeah. Finds a way to muscle her way back in because she's the man.
And then all the while, Ronda is playing it right down the middle, right? I'm the athlete who can beat anyone, right? That's the part that, because now Ronda's a heel? What?
Yeah.
What sparked that, by the way? What sparked it? Because it wasn't as if the fans booed her that one promo however many weeks ago, but then you kept going back. Sparked it is nothing. So it was just a misfire. And, you know, hopefully after Fastlane, they can pick it back up and we get reinvested. But right now, it left a kind of a sour taste in my mouth with what should have been the biggest storyline in WWE.
Yeah. And I mean, this one's easy to see. Becky Lynch wins this, unless they find some weird thing where she doesn't and they draw this out till next week on Raw or something, right? So there could be that, but Becky Lynch is winning this.
Yes, of course.
For sure. All right, final match. Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, WWE Championship. This is still odd to me, man, that Kevin Owens out of nowhere, and none of the other guys are mad about this, right? Like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, like all the people that were in contention, right? Like it's
low
odd...
key, right? But low key, one of my favorite moments of the WWE week was the backstage promo with AJ Styles. So he's like, I just don't get it. Like, it's a tough lose-lose. Like, I'd be mad if I was Kevin Owens, but I'd take the shot. And, you know, everyone loves Kofi. And then Randy Orton just appears out of nowhere and goes, no wonder it took you 15 years to get here. You're talking about someone else getting the title shot and not you? And I was like, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then AJ kind of was like, you're right. Yeah. You know,
it was a great line.
That was a good moment.
Those are simple things too that you can then go further a storyline. Now you need a little more than that, right? Like you got to keep giving me a few more burbs or something, but that's an easy way to lead into an AJ Styles Randy Orton thing, which is something we haven't seen, right? So
which would be great,
right? Why not, right? Like
the best wrestler in the world versus the best wrestler in the world if he's invested in a storyline. I still think Randy Orton, if he cares, is the best wrestler, one of the best wrestlers in the world.
I mean, yes.
He just doesn't give a shit.
Who was the one who kept saying, was it Ross who always said, like, if you were to build a pro wrestler, like, prototype, right it there. Would look like Randy Orton? Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Everything about him. And hold on. One thing that I did want to mention.
Yeah.
Did we see the New Day at all on SmackDown?
No,
maybe I missed
it. They're in India. They mentioned them, right? Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So your number one contender, the people's champ, Kofi Kingston, isn't even on the show.
He's not.
He's the people's champ.
Yeah, he's the people's champ.
But he's the people's champ.
Fuck the people. Sometimes you got to give these people what they need. Remember?
Do you think the New Day does something? Do you think the New Day jumps in and costs Kevin Owens or Daniel Bryan something?
It's the only thing that's good about all of this for me. I don't like any of this. I just don't like the left turn out of nowhere for no real reason. And Kevin Owens' promo was real good. Don't get me wrong. And he's playing the face role pretty good. And he's humble even. And when he was like, you don't have any friends left. That's why you don't have it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a good homage to, hey, man, you were an asshole. Why are we, like, all of a sudden, why are you cool? You know, playing into it. Like, fine, I'll buy it. But it just seems weird, right? Because everything, like, it has to further somehow, right? Like, if Kofi never sniffs this again, is just gone and doesn't get back into this, that's forever to me going to be like,
just,
why the fuck did that happen? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's just going to go back to throwing pancakes while Xavier Woods and Big E take on, the Usos. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Right.
It just...
doesn't make sense.
Here's the other weird thing that I thought from the end of SmackDown that may lead into this match is yes, the New Day was in India, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before his injury, he was, you know, the new shiny toy on SmackDown. But when he made his return, in my opinion, the crowd went mum. But Mustafa Ali runs out, and everyone kind of just like, oh yeah, he's there.
That guy again.
And I think maybe they thought like we'd go Mustafa Ali, yeah. But everyone's like, the
train lashed on the Kofi.
Yeah, the train is now on Kofi. Sorry, right. Mustafa. I know.
It was the same train. It just rolled on the Kofi. Now, it's not because they just – it wouldn't have happened to just anybody they placed in there. Kofi performed really well there, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, Kofi, right? Like, and then it just caught from there, right? Like, that's kind of what happened. Everybody was like, man, Kofi is pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of what happened. It was like, and kind of went with it, right? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, because the end of SmackDown was Ali and Owens just kind of doing the like weird babyface stare at each other.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Ali maybe jumps in there. I don't know, but Kofi has to do something, right?
I hope.
Who you got?
Daniel Bryan wins. They're going to keep rolling with that storyline, and he needs that title. They didn't, you know what I mean, make that thing for no reason.
Yeah, it's Daniel Bryan as champ, but who do you think? So
I think I'm gonna book it. I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna wager 50 points on it, Tom. Kofi and the New Day come in and rip shit up and cause basically a no contest.
Yep, and then maybe we get a triple threat of Owens, Daniel Bryan, and Kofi. I don't know. That one's the weirdest one. That one where I don't see any, I don't know where they're going at all.
Could be a decent, they could build a decent match around that at Mania, because they like to have multiple people on Mania, and that's a good way. It's a storyline that's been going on. You don't have to shove like 18 people in a battle royal now, right? Like, it, like, okay, cool. Like, I can buy that. You know, you just got to be wary of how many like triple threats you got and that kind of thing, I guess. So I don't know what they're planning on booking.
That's the only one where I don't know where they're going. And I'm interested, but then I'm also like, meh. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Get me excited again. Daniel Bryan's awesome. That's the one other thing. I'm going Daniel Bryan. Right. But we need to focus a little bit more on Daniel Bryan. Like, we need to go back to when Daniel Bryan was the A side of the feud, like he was with AJ Styles. I feel like he's the B side, and we're just talking about who his opponent will be. We need to be talking about how Daniel Bryan's fucking a
and
jerk.
And here's the thing, like, Kevin Owens is back now. It's like, yeah, and we're like, okay, so if he's on fire and we're all like, yeah, face run, well, right? So the only thing that happens here is if he loses, then we're still like, and he's coming from underneath again. Well, it's got to still be for the title, or else you lose all that steam, right? So he's eventually got to win it. So if it doesn't happen now, it happens at Mania or it happens or whatever. But like, and then Daniel Bryan's just done with this. Like, he just did the turn, just did the title. Like, it's just, it all happened too fast, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish, again, if I'm booking, you got to make Daniel Bryan the A side of SmackDown. You got to make him the focal point.
Yeah.
There's a reason there's a new fucking title, man. Like,
and maybe
it's like he just
maybe Kevin Owens
squashed
just a
AJ. Yeah. Maybe but I just felt like they squashed AJ because he was the champ that ran the camp, and that was cool. But now we're in the second era of SmackDown Live. But then we're kind of shit in the bed because it's not being Daniel Bryan. It's being all these other contenders.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're just maybe Kevin Owens is a throwaway, and he's just going to be a quick loss for Daniel Bryan to get another one under there, so he can give it to Kofi or something. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
I want Daniel Bryan as the focal point, not these other guys.
I agree with that. All right, that's it for the fast lane, man. I guess mostly interested just to see how they're booking things and where we're going to go for Mania, right? Because they're going to definitely pull something out that they think is going to be like, this one's going to hook them. Right? Like in something we're not thinking of. Yeah. Right.
So it's gonna happen where next week I think we'll be like, that was kind of something. Let's talk about it. I don't know if it's gonna be good or bad, but they're gonna do something.
If we had to bet. All right. Well, let's get out of here then, huh? Episode 251 is done. Locked away. We're out of here. We're gonna come back next week for yet another exciting episode of the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact. A Mythbusters episode found that a barista with a double D size breast was tipped 30% more by men on average and 40% more by women.
The Spanish announce table.